Please turn in your Bibles with me to the Epistle of Paul to the Romans and chapter 5. Romans and chapter 5. And we're going to be reading verses 1 to 5. Romans chapter 5, reading verses 1 to 5. And the Apostle Paul writes, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." For a number of weeks now we've been studying this passage, Romans chapter 5. We're going to continue studying it until we get to verse 11. And as I've said for some weeks now, this is one of these rich passages in the Bible where we have a list of the blessings that God gives to his people when he grants them salvation. When we read the Bible, we come across the character of God. This is why the Bible was written, to reveal God. And the God who reveals himself in the scriptures is a generous, a big-hearted, a giving God who delights in mercy. He's not mean, he's not stingy, he's one who loves to give and who pours out blessings upon blessings. So salvation isn't just the forgiveness of our sins, and salvation isn't just a place in heaven. There's a whole lot more that is associated with salvation, a whole number of blessings that come to us. And over these last few weeks, we've been working our way through this passage. So we've seen that salvation involves being justified by faith. It involves having peace with God. It involves having access by faith into the grace in which we stand. It involves rejoicing in the hope of the glory. It involves even rejoicing in our sufferings. And over the weeks we've been looking at that. Now, if you've been listening to these series of sermons with a sensitive heart and a mind that's active and alive, I think there must have been a question that comes in your mind, particularly if you haven't read ahead. Now, I know we've all read ahead, but I think if you imagine being in the church in Rome, for example, when this letter arrived and the elder stood at the front and said, "Brethren, a letter has come from Paul the Apostle to us as a church, and I'm going to read it out to you." And he reads chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, and gets to chapter 5, and perhaps he introduces it by saying, "And now Paul is going to tell us the blessings that salvation brings." And he reads verse 1, and verse 2, and verse 3, and verse 4. I would imagine the congregation in Rome saying, "Yes, but he's talking about the blessings of salvation. Where is love? He hasn't mentioned love. He's mentioned justification. He's mentioned peace with God. He's mentioned access into God's grace. He's mentioned the hope of heaven. He's mentioned rejoicing in our sufferings. But the word love hasn't come yet." Well, from verse 5 onwards, Paul now begins to speak about the love of God. And I know that when we usually think about the love of God, we immediately turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, because that is the great passage on love, or 1 John chapter 4, or something like that. But let me tell you, these few verses, and there aren't many verses here, certainly not as many as in the other passages. 1 Corinthians 13 has 13 verses. We don't have as many verses here. But this is one of the finest expositions of the love of God, I think, found anywhere in the scriptures. So we begin this morning, as it were, a mini-series within the major series, The Blessings of Salvation, and we look, or begin to look this morning, at the love of God. And I'm only going to be looking at verse 5, and then we'll proceed on to verse 6 and 7 and so on, and we see how Paul unfolds this huge subject. So we're looking at verse 5 this morning, and Paul says there in verse 5, "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." And I want to expound that by means of 3 points, 3 things I have for you this morning on that verse 5 on the love of God. And they're all in the passage. I'm just going to pick up the phrases from the passage and then explain them. So the first thing we need to understand then, or what first thing we find in the passage is this, that the love of God has been poured out into our hearts. The love of God has been poured into our hearts. Just a very quick explanation of the Greek text, and then I will seek to explain this. In the first place, this word poured is one of these words that you use for a cascading waterfall. So he's using a particular Greek word that he would use, and it's the kind of thing, you know, you say it's raining cats and dogs. So you're not talking about a drizzle. You're talking about when it's sheeting down with rain, when rain is coming in huge quantities of water. It's that kind of word. The other thing about the Greek text, it's not a past and done action. This is a present continuous tense. I know that the English doesn't quite bring it out, but the Greek has it very clearly. What Paul is saying is, hope does not put us to shame because God's love is continually cascading in huge quantities into our hearts. If I was doing a loose English translation of the Greek text, I think this is how I would have put it. Hope does not put us to shame because God's love is cascading in huge quantities continually into our hearts. So this is what Paul is saying here. The love of God has been poured or is being poured in our hearts. Now, if you are familiar with the teaching of the New Testament, indeed the teaching of the Bible, this is something that shouldn't surprise you. The Bible tells us that God is love. This is what John writes in the first epistle. He talks about the love of God and he says how God in love sent his Son into the world for our sins. And then John, by way of explanation of all this, simply puts down that little phrase, God is love. In other words, John says the essential character of God, the thing that identifies God, the one characteristic which really marks out who God is this word love. God is love. And all of God's actions come from this, God is love. If you were to listen to the heartbeat of God, if you were, you know, this thing could happen, that you could come so close to God that you could actually hear his heartbeat, you would hear love coming out of his heart. And the whole of the Bible teaches us this. And Paul says to these Christians in Rome, he says, you've come into salvation. And you've come into these blessings. You have now peace with God. And you have access into God's grace. And you have a hope of heaven. And he says, all this is as nothing compared to what I'm now going to speak to you. There is more to it than that. There is this cascading of the love of God, this continual flow of God's love from heaven into your hearts. Now, the New Testament seeks to unpack some of these things. We read Ephesians chapter 1. And Paul there speaks about the love of God. And Paul says there, he says, in love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. In other words, what Paul says there and what Paul says elsewhere is that this whole plan of salvation has been designed in love. God designed this. God put it, as it were, God drew it out. You imagine this action of the Trinity, every person of the Trinity, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, sitting around this drawing board and designing the plan of salvation and meticulously designing it. And God choosing those who are going to be saved and giving them to the Lord Jesus, and Jesus planning His coming and planning His life and death and resurrection, and the Holy Spirit planning His coming and putting that plan into action. And all of this design is being surrounded, it is being determined, it is being governed by the love of God. God planned our salvation in love. And then the Bible goes on to say, God then sent His Son into the world in love. I think if I went round the church this morning and I said, give me the most famous verse in the Bible, I guess most of us would come up with John 3:16. And John 3:16 reminds us of this. For God so loved the world. This was the great measure of His love, that He sent His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And in love, God then applies salvation to us. He actually brings Christ to us. And all the works of Christ, His life, His death, His resurrection, they are applied to us, and we are brought into His family as His adopted children. You are today, if you're a Christian, you are the subject of God's love. And that love does not diminish. It doesn't burn hot and cold. It's not like our love for God. Our love for God is like that. It's fitful. There are days you wake up and you feel so thrilled with God. And you feel so thrilled with everything that God has done for you. And you feel, I love God so much, I could do anything for Him. And that's true. We go through days like that. And it's wonderful. You're almost in heaven. You love the Lord. You love speaking of Him. You love reading of Him. You love praying to Him. And you love fellowshipping with His people. There is this thrilling love of God that He gives to you in your heart. And we go through experiences like this in life. And they're wonderful. Do you know, this happened once. This is quite an embarrassing story, but I will tell you this story. There was a time, this was when I was working in Nairobi, and I was driving in my car, and we used to have on the corners of the streets people selling flowers, because Kenya produces loads of flowers. And the ones that aren't exported to Europe, they bring them to Nairobi, and people stand on street corners and sell them. And I stopped my car, and I say to the guy, I want the most expensive bunch of flowers you have. And I forget how much it was. It was, you know, quite a lot of money in Kenyan standards. And he gave them to me and he said, wow, your wife is, you know, very fortunate, you're buying this for her. And I said, well, actually, my wife isn't at home. She's gone to Britain on holiday. And he said, who are they for? And I said, they're for Jesus. Because I love Him. I can't remember what I did with those flowers, but I just felt that. You know, have you ever done that? You just feel this love for Christ. Well, we go through days like that, but then we go through days when our hearts are like the Sahara Desert. And you look for even a drop of love for God, and your heart doesn't seem to have anything there. Now, God's love isn't like that towards us. God loves when things are going well for you. The love of God is upon you and is cascading into your heart. And when things are going badly for you and you're going through enormous trials, the love of God is cascading into your heart in the same measure. We must never judge the love of God according to our circumstances. We must never say, well, look, I have no illness today, and I have no financial problems today. I have a job, and I have a nice house, and life seems to be going well. Wow, God really loves me. And then you wake up the following morning, and you get some diagnosis in the post, or you get a redundancy note or something like that, and you say, well, I thought God loved me. What's happened to the love of God? Or some family problem has happened with your members of the family, some big issues there, and you say, well, what's happened to the love of God? Why has it dried up? What have I done wrong? Where has it all gone wrong? Why is God displeased with me? None of that. This is a very powerful present continuous tense, and notice there are no qualifications here. Paul doesn't say in verse 5, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, and you know this when things are going well for you, but there are times when this cascade stops. He doesn't say that. Nowhere in this passage does he put any qualifications, does he say this love is hindered in any way. God loves us. And God cascades his love into our hearts continually. You are under the love of God. Regardless of your circumstances, regardless of what's happening in your life, the love of God is being cascaded into your heart in huge quantities. So that's the first thing that Paul says. He says the love of God has been poured into our hearts. And then he says the second thing. He says the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit. This is the agency, this is the means by which the love of God has been poured into our hearts. When you read Acts chapter 2, you read about the Holy Spirit coming to earth. Now, of course, he was there in the Old Testament. You read about the activity of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. You read about him at creation. And you read about him when Israel came out of Egypt. Isaiah tells us that it was the Holy Spirit who brought them out. And when they began to construct the tabernacle in the desert, there were these skilled craftsmen. And we are told specifically that the Holy Spirit gave them the gifts to make all the various furnishings for the tabernacle and so on. So the Holy Spirit was undoubtedly active in the Old Testament. But when you read Acts 2, there's obviously something here. There's obviously a new means by which the Holy Spirit has come. He has obviously come to do something greater. Now, I think one of the unfortunate mistakes we make is that we begin to concentrate on the gifts. Now, the gifts are important. We must in no way downplay the gifts. The Spirit of God himself gives gifts to the children of God, and the children of God are to use the gifts to the glory of God and for the good of God's people. Important, no question about it. But I think if our focus is only on the gifts, we're actually losing something. The Holy Spirit came to declare and to display the love of God. That's why he came. Now, everything else then he does under that umbrella. Because God is love, and the Holy Spirit is God. So you could say the Holy Spirit is love. And because that is his essential character, this is who he is. He is love. So everything that he does in love. It is in love that he enables the preaching of his word to be preached in power. It is in love that he takes the preaching of his word and applies it to those who hear it. It is in love that he regenerates, he makes alive, spiritually alive, those who are dead in sins and trespasses. It is in love that he grants us repentance and faith. He enables us to turn from our sins and put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in love that he then unites us to the Lord Jesus Christ and joins us to him and makes sure that his life is then being poured out into us. It is in love that he gives us gifts. It is in love that he comes to dwell in us and begin a work of transforming us into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is in love that he uses a variety of means to do this work of transformation. He uses the scripture. He uses Christian fellowship. He uses our trials to make us fit for this marathon. All this is the work of the Holy Spirit in love. He has come because he loves the people of God. And he has come to declare that love and to display that love and to do all his works in love. And we need to begin to see the Holy Spirit himself, the person of the Spirit and the work of the Spirit in this context. Now, do you know, if we saw that, if we had a strong grasp of this, that all of the Holy Spirit's works are in love, he actually came because he is love, and he came to declare love, well, surely, so much of our confusion with regard to who he is, and why he came, and how we are to respond to him, would actually be solved. And we would certainly never start picking fights with one another on the gifts of the Holy Spirit or something like that, because that's going against his essential character. I mean, imagine if I had an argument at the back there after the service with somebody about gifts, and we were, you know, rolling up our sleeves, and you say, well, I think the gifts are this, and I say, I think the gifts are, and you think, well, now, wait a minute. We're not just talking about somebody who came to earth with packages of gifts, you know. We're talking about somebody who is love and who came with love and in love to declare love and to work in love. And surely we can't then start falling out over these things. So the Holy Spirit of God is this great agent of God who has come in love to do a work of love that we might in return love God. He has come to inspire love in us. He has come to make sure that we love God. And all his works are aimed at that. Why is it that we must pursue holiness? Because we love God. Why is it that we must serve one another? Because God is love and we love him and we are to show our love to him by doing that. Why is it that we must live our lives in obedience to the scriptures? Because God, the Holy Spirit, has given us a love for him in our hearts, and we declare that love by living our lives according to his word. So this whole exercise of the Holy Spirit is surrounded and couched in love. He came because he is love. Excuse me, I'm just going to take a drink. He came because he is love. He came because he wants to declare and to display the love of God. And he came because he wants to inspire love in us. The great goal of salvation is that we should love God and love him without blowing hot and cold, without being up and down, without being lukewarm. And we're gradually being transformed into this that we might truly love him. So the love of God has been poured into our hearts, this continuous cascading action. And the love of God has been poured through the agency of the Holy Spirit. And then the third thing that Paul says in this passage, the love of God guarantees our salvation. I'm saying that because of the way verse 5 links to verses 3 and 4. In verses 3 and 4, Paul says, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. So we were looking at this last time. What is the result of sufferings in our life? Well, suffering produces endurance. It actually develops our spiritual muscles. and endurance produces character. There is this work of transformation going on all the time. We are being transformed into the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. His grace, His love is increasingly being seen in us. So we're being transformed and our character is being changed. And as our character develops, so hope rises in our hearts. Because God is doing this great work in developing our character, bringing more and more and more of Christ in us. And as we see more and more of Christ being developed in us, so hope rises in our hearts. Surely we are destined for heaven. And Paul then says in verse 5, this hope that your trials have brought you, this hope that your developing character has given rise to, this hope, he says, will not be disappointed. It will not be put to shame. It is not something that the hope was there and then it never actually came to pass. This hope, he says, will not be put to shame. Why? Because God's love has been poured into our hearts. In other words, God is doing all of this out of love. His great motive in transforming your character, His great motive in sending trials to us and using those trials to transform our character is love. He loves us. Now you see, the moment you understand that, well, you see, you know then that your hope is never going to fail. I have put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have asked Him to take away my sin. And I've asked Him to take me to heaven. Now, how do I know He will do that? Because He is love. And once I grasp that, then I know He can't fail. Because He is love. And the one who loves will never actually go back on His promises, will never actually fail. Not only is He love, He is sovereign. A human being full of love can fail because we don't have control of all situations. God does. So the loving God, who is sovereign, has our salvation in His hands. If you're a Christian this morning, you need to understand what Paul is saying here. Paul is saying there is this cascading falls of the love of God pouring out into your heart at all times. And it is happening regardless of your circumstances. You are the object of God's love. And you are continually the object of God's love. And you're the object of God's great love. Not a small amount, a cascading amount of love. And He says to us that this love ensures our salvation is secure. You need never fear death. You need never fear the day of judgment if you're a Christian. And I say this because as a pastor, I sit at the bedside of people who are very ill and sometimes dying. And very frequently, a person will say, well, Pastor, God is going to judge me, isn't He? And I don't know if I've actually made it. And I always say, well, you haven't, but Christ has. In other words, you haven't done the works to please God, but you were never expected to. But Christ has done all that is necessary for you to enter heaven. He has met all the demands of God. He has satisfied the law of God on your behalf. And He has granted you salvation. You will enter not because of what you've done, but because God in love has guaranteed your salvation. So if you're a Christian this morning, you are the subject of God's love. And that love is cascading into your heart. And it guarantees your salvation. Now from next week, we'll begin to see how the mechanics of that love unfold. Let's come to God in prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank You for Your great love. We thank You that this is no mean love, but it's a great love from a great God. And we thank You, our Father, that this is not seasonal. It's not a seasonal river. We thank You, our Father, it's a continual cascade. We pray, our Father, that we might be conscious of it. So often we lose out on the blessings of salvation because we're just not aware. We're just not experiencing these things. Please, Lord, today, visit us in love by your Spirit. Assure us of your love. And bring us to that place where we love you from our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.